Your Bibles, if you have a Bible with you, whether it's a book form or some other form. This morning we're reading from Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to invite Solomon to come up and read our passage for us.
Our scripture reading today will be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the bird on the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. So we're back in the Sermon on the Mount this week. Matthew 5, now at the end of chapter 6, and it's going to go in through chapter 7. Anybody want to guess how many sermons or what number sermon this is so far in the Sermon on the Mount? How many mornings we have spent looking at the Sermon on the Mount? Six? Nine. Who said nine? Oh, John Schaap. So six was good, but nine. This is Sunday number nine, message number nine on the Sermon on the Mount. And this past week, I emailed a few people in the church and asked them, what's happening to you as either you're reading the Sermon on the Mount or you're trying to listen to me on Sunday mornings? What experience are you having, or how would you characterize your reading or your listening of the Sermon on the Mount? One person who's trying to memorize at least part of the Sermon on the Mount used the word, it feels dry. The Sermon on the Mount feels a little bit dry. Somebody else said, it's sometimes tough for me to make the connection with the kingdom. What's this kingdom? And then they said, well, except when I look at my life, I see that there are some kingdoms in my family, my friends, my workplace. And now I see God bringing the kingdom or bringing his rule into my kingdoms or my areas of influence. And maybe some of you who I didn't email have responses to the Sermon on the Mount, maybe something that you would use, a word you would use to describe it. The kind of word that I'm finding in my mind more and more as I go through the Sermon on the Mount is the word outrageous. Anybody with me this morning? This is outrageous teaching. I think part of my goal now as a pastor is to have at least a few of you say, amen! When Jesus talks, doesn't anyone feel this is outrageous? It's shocking what he says. It's over, it's beyond sort of what's acceptable. Extreme, good word there. Because at the end of chapter 4, before he begins the sermon, he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, who has that kind of authority to say that? And then he says at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, blessing is connected with being poor in spirits, with being meek, with mourning, with being persecuted. He talks about adultery and murder, not so much on the outside, but adultery and murder on the inside, where nobody can see what's going on. He calls us to love our enemies. He tells us that certain parts of our religious life, things like praying and giving to the poor and fasting, should be done in secret. No one should know what's happening. Don't make a big show. 2 weeks ago, he said to us through the Sermon on the Mount, you can't serve both God and money. And I'm asking, why not, Jesus? Can't we have both? Why are you so adamant about you can't serve both God? Can't we have two masters? And I think this morning, maybe most outrageous of all, do not worry. Now, hopefully someone is at least in their mind saying, that is outrageous. You know, Solomon read the passage so well for us, and so, you know, like just reading it through, and some of you have read this passage many times, but someone's got to say, outrageous. Because to be human, it feels like, to be human is to worry. It's almost like Jesus would say, don't breathe, stop breathing, stop moving. He says, stop worrying. I just grabbed a few books out of my office and then also one of the other offices because I wanted to find a certain kind of book. And I just use them as illustrations for things that worry us. And I know that the pile of books could be much bigger. These are just a few things. But I picked up three of the same books. This is Freed Up Financial Living. It's a course on financial stewardship, and I thought there have to be some people this morning who are worried about their money. Or not just money today, but how about money for tomorrow? Or money for my kids, or money for my car payment, or money for my mortgage, or I just want more money. So I'm sure there are a few people this morning who are saying, I'm worried about money. And then for those of us who have children or grandchildren or, you know, kids who are important to us, we worry about them. I just picked up this book from my office, Why I Love My Daddy. Nice book. But some of us worry about children. And then I got the marriage book or any kind of relational book we could pick up. People, I'm sure some of us worry about our marriage or about our connection with other people, friends. Why is it not going better? Why are there tensions? What can I do to help? I got a book about Christ and culture, which for me, you know, I worry sometimes about the culture around us and what's happening, its influence on other people, the church, but also its influence on me. Lori just prayed about our synod from the Christian Reformed Church, and I'm a little worried about this year's synod, to be honest with you, what's going to happen there. Worry about the church in general. I have a book here, In Life and in Death. Maybe some of us worry about dying. How to Pray. Any of us maybe worried about our prayer lives or our spiritual lives or maybe why God doesn't feel closer to us. I have a book here about Christian weddings. Some of us may be getting married in the near future or wanting to get married or thinking about marriage. And the list could go on of things that we might worry about. I know that the list could be, or the pile of books could be a lot bigger, but I just put these here to illustrate. Jesus says, don't worry, but the pile of worry seems to be large. And this morning, what I want to do is, I want to just look at what Jesus says, because as I was going through the passage, I saw at least eight things. He doesn't call them eight steps, but eight teachings in these verses that He's trying to get across to us to have us stop worrying or change the direction of all of our anxious thoughts in another way. So this should be on the screen here real soon, but let me just go through these eight things, and maybe you find more in these verses, but let me just read through them. I know Solomon's already read them, but just to highlight them. He says, don't worry. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And we're supposed to say yes. You know, many people worry about what am I going to eat and what am I going to drink and what am I going to wear and all these what Jesus would call small potato issues in our lives. There's something bigger than eating and drinking and being clothed, life. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, he's going to talk, I'm going to get to that in a bit, but he's going to talk about seeking the kingdom. If you really want to focus your energy on something, don't be fretting and worrying about what am I going to eat and drink and be clothed with, but focus your energy on the kingdom of God. He says later on in the passage, he says, look at the birds. Now, who of us looks at the birds? I don't. I feel bad about that. Yesterday, Phyllis and I and the kids, I got to tell you this place, Barnston Island. Who's been to Barnston Island? Oh, well, it's great. My first time there, I feel bad. But you could take this free ferry. A free ferry. It's not a very long ferry ride, but free ferry, what I would call from the northeast corner of Surrey to Barnston Island. We get on the island, and I know this is the way I am, but I just start walking. You know, kids are riding their bikes, Phyllis and I and Sarah are walking, and I'm just walking, you know. And Phyllis said, listen to the birds. And I'm thinking, I miss that. Last night, 10:15, we're outside. It was so hot inside the house, we're outside last night, and I'm just oblivious to these things. Phyllis says, is that Mars? Well, I should have seen that, but I don't. I feel bad about that. But Jesus says, look at the birds. They're not fretting and worrying, but God is feeding them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And the answer is supposed to be, yes. Now, I fear that some people in our culture, and I understand some of it, but they will say, no, actually the birds are just as important as human beings. Or the gorilla is just as important as human being. Now, I think gorillas and birds are important. But Jesus is trying to say, you as image bearers of God, you are more valuable to God. One of the quotes I found this past week from someone else's sermon, I think it was a pretty good sermon, this person said, worry not only insults God, because we're worried about can he take care of us, but worry also insults us. Worry says to the world, I'm not valuable. Anxiety is an affront to the kindness of God and the worth of men and women made in his image. So if God is taking care of birds, look at the birds, listen to the birds, listen for the birds. He's also going to take care of you. Then Jesus says in verse 27, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And the answer is supposed to be no. In fact, studies say that if you worry too much, you can actually take hours off of your life. So Jesus says, for the sake of your health and for the sake of your well-being, it doesn't help to worry. Then the fourth thing he says later on, he says, not just look at the birds, but also look at the flowers. For those of us who do keep looking, for those of us who don't, start looking at the flowers. They're not sowing and spinning and laboring, and yet even Solomon was not dressed like them. So if God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, gone tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So Jesus using the things in God's creation to say, God's taking care of the birds and God's taking care of the flowers, and because of your place in the creation, he will also take care of you. So don't worry. There it is again. Saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And what are we going to wear? Number five, for the pagans run after these kinds of things. The pagans, those who don't know this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the covenant-keeping God, the pagans are fretting, the pagans are worried, the pagans are fretting and fearful. But you are not like that, Jesus says. You're part of the kingdom. And people in the kingdom are thinking and living differently. And then he adds very quickly, and your heavenly Father, number 6, knows that you need these things. Your Father in heaven knows all things, also knows what you need. And then he gets toward the end of this section, says, but seek first the kingdom. You're prone to worry, you're prone to fret, you're prone to fear. Instead of putting all your energy in that, seek the kingdom, which for me more and more is, what's the kingdom? The kingdom are these 3 chapters in Matthew, certainly. Seek the values, seek the life embodied in this teaching about the kingdom. And then he concludes by saying, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus acknowledging the trouble that might come, but saying, stay in the moment, stay in the presence. I think it's okay to think about the future, plan even about the future, but don't allow your mind to worry about the future. Now, maybe some of us can remember all 8 points after the service. Maybe I could ask you, and some of you would say, I know them all. Here they all are. But if you're like me, I need 8 points that Jesus keeps on sort of hammering home in a loving way, things to remember so we won't worry. But I also need just what's the basic message this morning? And the basic message on sort of the negative side is, don't worry, because worry is rooted in fear. Did someone say fear? Well, I thought I heard fear, but unbelief as well. But worry is this sign that you're fearful, which you might say, yeah, that's true. That's what's going on in my heart. I'm fearful for my life. I'm fearful that God is not with me. I'm fearful that God is not really going to take care of me. If you're someone like that this morning, I would suggest simply confess that. Simply confess, I'm fearful, I'm worried because I'm fearful. Start there and see what God might do. My conviction, more and more, is that we don't do enough of that in the church. I know that we have our confession of sin in the church, and we're sort of, most of us are okay with that. But I think we need to be people who say to someone at least, God as well, but to one another, I am fearful. This teaching is hard. I do worry. I need to confess that. I'm worried about this and that. I mean, this stack wasn't big enough. It should have been up to here. All the things in my life, to at least acknowledge that. We need to be people who are able to acknowledge also all kinds of other things. We don't do well in the church, I think, letting people be honest with what's going on in their hearts. And worry is one of them. But then, as we confess, to not just say, well, I'm so worried, there's so much going wrong, there's so many things I'm fretting about, but then to try and grab hold of this teaching and say, what's Jesus trying to say, basically? I think the basic message is you're worried and fearful because of your view of God. You think God does not care. You think God does not know. But the image Jesus uses here a number of times, but also throughout his ministry, is God is your Father. God is your Father. He's not simply a force. He's not simply a power. He's not some entity, some thing, some it out there. He's your Father. And not a Father like we know, but a Father in the heavenly places with power and authority. And this is, I think, the great conversion that needs to happen, first time becoming a believer, a Christian believer, but also continually. God is my Father. I sing it, the pastor tells me, But I want to believe it. In order for us not to worry, this needs to be the perspective of our minds and our hearts. So in the next chapter, we're going to look at this maybe next week a little bit more, but I know these are also just like, you know, what Jesus says is so, wow. Chapter 7, verse 9, he says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" Anybody going to do that? "Daddy, mommy, I'm hungry. Oh, here's a stone." Or if your child asks for fish, we'll give him a snake. "You want fish? Oh, here's a snake instead." Who's going to do that? Most of us will not do that. So, Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil... So this morning, I don't want to argue with Jesus. Let's just assume that. Let's assume he's telling us the truth. You're evil. We're evil. But even though we're evil, when our children ask us for something, we're not going to give them rocks and snakes. Even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So we're evil and we give good gifts. Imagine a God who's not evil and the kinds of gifts he will give. And then earlier in the chapter, in chapter 6, we looked at this a few weeks ago very quickly, but this prayer that Jesus calls us to pray, invites us to pray. I think every time we hear or we pray the Lord's Prayer, we should say, outrageous. That we get to pray to our Father in heaven. We should be amazed that Jesus, in some sense, commands us, but invites us into this kind of life. So this morning, I want to pray that prayer with us again and add a few words to it, especially for those of us who are challenged with this idea that God is our Father, and then we're going to sing. So let me invite the worship team up. I'm just going to pray the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to sing about God as Father. And this morning, I want to encourage us, whether we've heard this before or not, to be people who are wanting this experience. In order for us not to worry about tomorrow, to be fretting and fearful, the answer is, can we, do we, will we see God as our Father in heaven, the one who cares for us? So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray for faith and confidence to address you as Father. For some of us, that's easy. For some of us, that's really difficult. For some of us, almost impossible because of the Father or the fathers we have known in this life. So, O God, great God, come and make that real for us. For the sake of your name, who you really are to us, but also for our sake. For our fretting and fearing and worrying souls. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. So for those of us who are worried about tomorrow, worried about work or money or marriage or family or friends, children, our health, our eternity, what we will do with our lives, O Lord, the list goes on. We pray, give us today our daily bread. Keep us focused on today. Help us not to fear and fret about tomorrow. And we cast all our worries on you, O God, because you care for us. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Father in heaven. Amen.